Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
This weekend constituted a lot of viral learning moments for a lot of different people. What do we take away from these situations is going to be important, not only to our health and safety on the internet, but in some cases, our health and safety in real life. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egbumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we have had coaching moves made in the NBA. We have got the Nets continuing to ascend right now as their big three hadn't even had a chance to fully develop or gel, and we'll get to plenty of those because I think James Harden and the MVP conversation need to start being two things we associate
Look
with one another a lot
coming
more.
Coming in hot. The heat is on the stove.
I am
coming
ready.
In hot.
I'm already. Ready for all that, Jhené, but did you see the video of that wide receiver from Oklahoma who apparently now has seriously injured his eye getting himself whooped up on in the bathroom by a guy who is apparently a wrestling or UFC background?
Whoa, wait. Explain one more time. There's a viral
video going around of an Oklahoma football wide receiver who got into an altercation in a restroom. And there are serious elements to this as far as his safety going forward. But the thing you need to take away from this video first and foremost is the guy that he was getting into the altercation with was considerably shorter than him. And Jhené, you know, and we've talked about the term cauliflower ear. That kind of like gross looking wrestling ear that you get when you are someone that works in a combat sport. The minute you see the person you are jawing with in a bar or any situation like that has cauliflower ear, you need to run in the other direction.
Absolutely. You know immediately that that person has been in the mix. That person has experience. They have time. They have expertise. Run the other direction. And I'm the type of person that when it comes to fights, like I see something going down. And you know, this is something cultural to you. I don't know if you guys do this, but if you see one person running away, everyone else starts running away.
Yep.
And so if you see that person sort of like winding themselves up and they've got cauliflower ear, you might need to back away. Back away. Unless you get got.
That's one of those situations. We don't have to be proud in that spot. No one is looking to go to the bathroom and get put to sleep in there. That's just not the way you want to operate.
No.
And so that's a good learning experience, Jhené. But we need to get to, I think, one that had far more reach this weekend. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because a lot of people saw what went down with Cam Newton this weekend. Viral video of, you know, current NFL free agent, former NFL MVP Cam Newton at a 7-on-7 camp, which is something that Cam does a lot of. We have heard the stories about players who have been a part of those camps that now have gotten to play with Cam Newton later on in the NFL. And we got an instance where I think just that kind of a debate amongst generations about the way to conduct yourselves in these situations. And so we're going to play the sound and video for you right now of the verbal confrontation between Cam Newton and one of the players at this 7-on-7 camp. Here was the back and forth that sparked the debate amongst a lot of people this weekend.
You ass. You're a free agent. You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
So, Jhené, we saw that video back and forth there. There was another back and forth involved in all of this, too, where things got a little calmer. Cam Newton put out a social media statement in his weird version of Wingdings font. And then the player in question here, whose name is Joseph Owens, put out an apology on the notepad and then tweeted it earlier in the day, apologizing for everything that went on in that situation. And so, first and foremost, Jhené, do you believe that this young player was out of line in what we just heard and saw there?
100,000,000%. Yes, completely out of line. And I'm super grateful that Joseph decided maturely and learning from his experience, which we all know we're young at times and dumb and we do things that we're not necessarily proud of. I am very, very glad that Joseph decided to put out a public apology because, I mean, the first thing that Cam said besides saying I'm rich, which is another flex on a whole nother level, was that let me talk to your dad. Where's your dad? Meaning I need someone on my level, someone with maturity to not engage with because this, what he was spewing was just, you know, unnecessary. Like, I feel like as athletes, we are used to taking criticism, but also we know that that's part of the game in which we are grateful to be playing. And it's also a job, which we're grateful for that as well. But at the same time, when you are giving your time, your energy, your expertise, your legacy to the next generation in a time where, like, we're dealing with pandemic, you could have chosen to, you know, had additional reasons to sort of stay to yourself. Instead, you're putting yourself out there as a free agent and someone that's dealt with the difficult season as of late, just the recency bias. You're making the right choice, you know, do what is necessary as a role model for the next generation. And then to have to deal with that, we deal with that normally as athletes, but I think now the difference is that it was caught on camera, and those things that you normally say on social media that you can get away with the athlete not trying you back, that you're not going to get away with it in public, especially when it's on that athlete's platform. So there are a lot of problems with what the young man, I mean, I'm cool with like sparring, like, and all that stuff. I get it all the time. Oh, yes. Let's play one-on-one, Shanae. Let's do this thing. And I'm like, dude, I only play like if it's a 1,000, like put a band on it. Let me make my monies back. You know what I'm saying? And I say it in jest, but you know, as athletes, we are down to have fun. But I really do think that Cam Newton, he handled that situation as best as you can without, you know, having to be completely like not himself personality wise. And then like challenge the young man to understand that, hey, like, let's have a meaningful dialogue, which he posted his own a little bit later. So I'm glad Cam handled it the way he did. And I'm glad that the young man responded. And I think this just highlights how reality is very different than social media. And we have to sometimes check ourselves.
Shanae Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And you're right. The context of that situation matters a lot here, because we're pro talk and bleep around here. I love when people talk trash playing sports, because there's equity involved, because it's saying I'm going to put myself and my reputation on the line with these words, and then I'm going to go out here and I'm going to cash that check. This situation was devoid of all of that, and we've even seen it. I'll forget even the second that it's not this kid talking crap to another camper there, where then you're going to go line up out there and you're going to go and play against each other.
Playing field.
Yeah, we're going to get to settle this in a way that's fun, because then we all get to ooh and ah if you get crossed up or if you get mossed or anything like that. But that's a fun situation. I've even seen in camps like this, because what a unique opportunity, Chinee, kind of like what Twitter's afforded people, to go and see heroes in reality, to go and see these athletes you've seen on screen and on the field in person in front of you. And we've seen in some instances where kids will jaw and have fun, but there's always a difference, and we run into it in this job, between having fun, jawing back and forth in a way that everybody can have a good time with, and being disrespectful in a way that this clearly was. Maybe it was blown out of proportion a bit once you got the camera pointed at the kid and he knew he was on camera with that, but in the context of this situation, you have got someone coming to give their time to you, who's an adult in the situation, that you know there's not going to be any recourse here. Cam's not going to do anything crazy in that spot because he's smart and he wants to keep his money and he's a grown adult, and that kid's not going to do anything because he knows the same goes the other way. And so we don't get a situation that's got any equity in the way that actually makes smack talk fun.
Exactly. And that's what made it a little baffling that this engagement would actually happen. And like you said, like, it was a kid who was talking his stuff, and I feel like the camera and the setting in which he was around boys and he wanted to puff his chest out, that just was not the way to go. And I feel like he finally realized that by, you know, apologizing. But I would like to say, like, good for you, Cam, for keeping your composure, especially knowing the platform you have to, like, even seeing the cameras there and actually try to engage and get deeper levels with this young man. And I feel like, you know, I wish the only thing he could have done better is, instead of saying, like, oh, you getting mad? Well, I'm getting rich. You getting mad? But like, money is not the answer here, but I feel like that was the kindest way for him to say something that the kids didn't think, like, oh, you're just sucking the fun out of this. I am grateful. And also, like, let's use this day and this opportunity, which I had to come out of my weekend slumber on Twitter. Let's use this day and opportunity to really have a Cam Newton appreciation, because the recency bias hits this man hard, in the sense that we all know, like, what we've been talking about, the descent when it comes to what he was able to do with New England and such and so forth. But let's not forget about the ascent, and let's not forget about what he has meant for the culture and what he's been able to do, not only collegiately as an athlete, but professionally, you know, NFL MVP and being able to take his team to a Super Bowl. So let's put some respect on that man's name, because your girl, I mean, I want, if there's one person at ESPN that wanted Cam Newton to win this year, it's your girl. Super Cam that bro. That was the name of my fantasy team. So when I saw this, I had to go back out and defend my man. The only thing he needs to do is to change those wingdings. Okay. Like, let's change them. Let's get them back. It was harder for me to read those things, but like, I still got the message.
I was going to say, we got to have this conversation about the font at some point. Like, do you know how bad it's got to be, Chinee? Because you're a professional athlete. You're amongst, these are your peers when it comes to being famous and influential. And so usually if a pro athlete does something, it gets replicated because people take their cool from the people at the top. I have never seen a young person use that weird wingding font, which would tell you everything you need to know about its viability. So, Cam, that's the only thing that we got to fix amongst this sea of things in here. At Chinee, at Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter. Let us know if you think this kid was out of line, because I have seen it go both ways in a way I did not anticipate. I thought we would say, all right, rude kid in here, situation we didn't like, let's keep it moving after that. But it has sparked a lot of very generational type feeling debate on here.
And now we know where he's from.
We could also have that conversation coming up here shortly, because someone on our staff pulled out very quickly where we can trace this young man back to. But coming up next, let's head to Brooklyn right now and see if what we're seeing from their big three and really what we're seeing from James Harden constitute us rethinking some odds around the MVP discussion. We'll do that next. Chinee Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Kyrie accepting and allowing James Harden to be James Harden says everything you need to know about where this team is going and what they could be.
Nobody's beaten this team in the Eastern Conference, and maybe not at all in the entire league.
So this Nets situation is going a little bit better, a little bit sooner than most may have predicted, but how high are we willing to fly with this, and how much respect are we willing to put on James Harden's name after what we saw got him out of Houston? Chinee Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. But Chinee, before we get to that, we have news out of Major League Baseball. And over the weekend, we had also seen, as is the theme, a video going viral of now former Mariners, Seattle Mariners president and CEO Kevin Mather at what was a Rotary Club Zoom call from February, where he talked very openly and in some cases, many cases, very disparagingly about members of the organization. The announcement has come down today that President and CEO Kevin Mather is resigning following the backlash from those comments. We have a statement from the Seattle Mariners that just went out on Twitter about 20 minutes ago that said, this is a statement from their chairman and managing partner, John Stanton. Like all of you, I was extremely disappointed when I learned of Kevin Mather's recent comments. His comments were inappropriate and do not represent our organization's feelings about our players, staff, and fans. There's no excuse for what was said, and I won't try and make one. I offer my sincere apology on behalf of the club, my partners, to our players and fans. We must be and do better. We have a lot of work to do to make amends, and that work is already underway. Kevin Mather has resigned his position effective immediately. I want to thank Kevin for his 25 years of service to our franchise. I will serve as active president and CEO until a successor can be chosen. Everyone at the Seattle Mariners remains committed to our mission of winning on the field and serving our fans and communities off the field. We will demonstrate that commitment through our actions. So, Chinee, again, Kevin Mather no longer a part of that organization, but I have a feeling the distrust sown amongst players, the organization, and fans from those comments is going to be something they very much have to show actionable response to after just this statement.
And for those who are wondering exactly what happened, I remember there are certain articles, and one involved, you know, Mina Kimes, who was, you know, sort of outlined basically her issues on her Twitter based on not only what was said, but also what was said that had racial undertones and also derogatory undertones when it came to Seattle, which, you know, obviously she has a heart, a big place in her heart for Seattle. So, you know, there are not many stories where you stop and you just go, wow, and you read everything. One just happened when it came to, you know, Mina's breaking down, you know, the texts and that situation with the harassment of that young woman that works within baseball as well. And now this is another one in which I sort of stopped and paused and I was like, what is going on here? Why did this conversation happen? And for those who are wondering what it was, is a 45-minute chat. And some of the things that the former CEO, Kevin Mather, said, and this is according to our own Jeff Passan, who just put the article out, He disparaged a Japanese player for not learning English, belittled a star prospect from the Dominican Republic for his language skills, and he derided another top prospect while admitting to manipulating his service time. He called the team's best pitcher very boring and embellished the pitcher's actions in a clubhouse incident, told another falsehood about a well-respected veteran, and complained that the franchise's best player over the past decade was, quote, overpaid. And so there are a number of things that, if you know, you're hearing, like I remember just reading everything that was said from the transcript, there are a lot of problematic things that maybe said in a tone that you probably wouldn't normally catch immediately the red flags just on like the matter of fact in which he was saying it, which honestly was a little I was taken aback from that, just because it's like, how can you comfortably just say these things and sort of lift up the hood on all these things that were not necessary? You know, he sort of volunteered that information. But once again, basically, a lot of the things that he talked about were either racially charged, racially based opinions, derogatory, dehumanizing, belittling of the players, and almost to the point where he diminished the value of players to just financial assets, not even as human beings, in the way he was sort of talking about it. And so that's sort of what provoked, I believe, you know, the dismissal slash resigning, whatever the language is in this situation. And I'm not surprised. I just think that, you know, in a week where we are starting to look, and we've seen many different instances, Junior, of this, like in a week where we see a lot of different figures having to step back from their roles because they woke up and just spoke their opinion, well, now we know that words have, you know, words have consequences, and this is now hitting the Seattle Mariners.
In a big time way. So again, former CEO and president of the Seattle Mariners, Kevin Mather, resigning his position after these comments. And you're right, they were comments made by someone who felt comfortable. And that's the reminder that we need when these issues come up and people feel like we are past a lot of these things and all of the, you know, instances of players feeling like they're at odds with the league, feeling like they're at odds with ownership. It's because I can't imagine Kevin Mather is the only one that holds antiquated views like this, that he was comfortable enough to espouse in a place where he knew he was being recorded. It wasn't in front of the normal audience that he is used to, but in these spots where he's criticizing Hisashi Iwakuma, who made a ton of money playing baseball for the Mariners, saying that he got tired of paying his interpreter, or criticize Julio Rodriguez's English in a way that he responded to on Twitter, that we saw in real time players within this organization digesting and having to respond to being talked about like this by a guy who thought he was speaking in a place in private. And it's a reminder that you can probably imagine what is said in even more quiet situations behind other closed doors in that spot. And so all of it leads to a man who no longer has a job because he let us know very comfortably where he stood on all of this in a way that in 2021... I got to be honest, it's not surprising, but it is still baffling that someone can come out and act that foolish in a place where they know they are being recorded. I cannot make sense of it, but again, that is why that person no longer has a job. So coming up next, we will get to some of what we've talked about with the Brooklyn Nets. If James Harden's MVP odds are now a place you might be able to make some money, because the way this is trending, it doesn't seem like he's getting ready to slow down anytime soon. We'll get to that after this word from Indeed.
Very well-timed read right here. With Indeed, there's no waiting for real results. Indeed helps you find quality candidates instantly with Indeed Instant Match. You see what I did there? Indeed searches through the millions of resumes in their database to deliver great candidates who fit your job description immediately. With Indeed Instant Match, some need them now. 80% of employers get quality candidates right when they sponsor their job. So it's no wonder Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Claim up to $75 credit towards your first upgraded post at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions applies. Now, is there a new top dog in Brooklyn? Harden and the Nets, is he now the most important member in the Brooklyn Big Three? That's right after this on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Come check us.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We got football back, like live real football happening over the weekend. The FCS kicked off its spring season after shutting down football for the fall amidst the coronavirus. We're already back with headlines that have nothing to do with football. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes here. Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chanae Agumake. It is already getting a little bit messy in a way that we've got to address because there are some important undertones to this that deserve our time and deserve our attention. But before we get to that, we did have, over the weekend, I think a lot more people latching on to big moments from the Brooklyn Nets yet again. This traveling circus has started to gain momentum and steam in a very short amount of time in a way that I think we all could have seen coming, but maybe not to this extent. And for more on what we're seeing now from the Nets' new Big Three, we're delighted to talk to our friend David Jacoby. You can catch him as part of Jalen and Jacoby around here on ESPN. And David, are you willing to rock with me on this idea that James Harden should start getting much more MVP buzz than we've heard so far this season? Because he feels like the one on the Nets that's in line for that right now.
The MVP candidate list, it's kind of like, you remember early on in like the Democratic running, it was like 14 people. Like, there's probably a full like squad that's 10, 12 deep full of people that deserve consideration. And James Harden is certainly one of those. But we can't forget like the first third of this season when he was just kind of showing up to work and mailing it in, you know? And so it's hard to truly get him in that conversation because we're still sort of staying from that Houston situation early on in the season.
Hey, Jacoby. It's your girl, Chinee Ogwumike. So glad you're joining us here on ESPN Radio. You guys know Jalen Jacoby on ESPN, but this is the guy that, like, literally I had so much fun starting my job in radio podcast land. It was Nay and Jay until he ditched me, but it's okay. I found a new guy. I found a new boo in these streets. His name is Mike Golic Jr., and things are going great. Loved hanging with you on Saturday on Hoop Streams. Now I'll get to my actual question, okay, Jacoby, since I'm done with my nonsense. Brooklyn Nets, obviously, you know, James Harden is holding them down. But overall, like, are you surprised that things have worked, especially when it comes to this road trip where they come out unscathed, whether Kyrie is playing or not playing and KD's out?
I'm jealous of you, Golic Jr., because I feel like your relationship with Chinee has, like, so far surpassed mine that it would take me a decade just to even catch up. But it does not need to be competitive. There's enough of all of us to go around. I just want you to know I'm jealous. But moving on, I would say that I was actually more surprised at how they sputtered out of the gate than I am to see them hit their stride now. Like, you remember, like, they didn't just lose. They were losing to the Cavs twice in a row. But it was that Pistons game, which is, so the reports are coming out now, and Nash actually said something that they kind of, like, then when they kind of had, like, a look in the mirror situation where it's like, look, just because we have these superstars and we have this sort of like these Hall of Fame credentials doesn't mean that we can just roll the ball out and end up winning games. Like, we're playing against professionals. And ever since then, they've really ratcheted up the defense. And, you know, one of the things that you've heard of a theme from this season is there's so little time spent together because of the protocols and the lack of practices that the road trips can actually be like a gelling, congealing thing for the team. So you saw that happen with this Nets team, and you're getting a lot from, like, Bruce Brown has really impressed me as someone who will never impress you in the stat sheet, but will impress you when you watch a game. And just, you know, Harris is shooting over 50%. So it's like, it's not just the big three. The other players on the Nets have really supported them as well.
Speaking of stat sheets that aren't maybe that impressive, the Minnesota Timberwolves are in the news right now, but it seems like for all the wrong reasons. They fired Ryan Saunders and immediately hire Raptors assistant Chris Finch as his replacement in the middle of the season with almost no time in between. Jacoby, is this something that's problematic for the NBA, the visual of this and the execution in this situation?
Listen, if you're going to move wrong and you're going to do things the wrong way, it, like, have enough sense to fake it. Like, you can't pretend there's a 30-second coaching search. You know what I mean? Like, you can't sort of, like, for lack of a better term, fire, part ways, whatever we're saying now, with Saunders, and then in the same breath announce the new coach. Because there was some negotiations happening behind the scenes. There was some, this was impending. The front office sort of knew this, and Saunders probably knew himself. So he's showing up to work knowing this was the case. I think that if it were me and I knew that I wanted the new coach, I would still name an interim just for a few games for the optics of it all, so it doesn't seem so nefarious.
And yet that's where we are right now. So not willing to play along with the game, but still making the move in that one. David, you are the best. There is no need to be jealous. There is plenty of love here to go around. We both love you very much and equally, and we appreciate you hanging out with us here on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm going to go cry now.
Check out Jalen and Jacoby on ESPN. The great David Jacoby, kind enough to join us here. And, Chinee, that hire and fire becomes a really interesting part of this conversation, but we'll get to that in a little bit, going back to the Nets, going back to James Harden and this team. When you look at them right now, we talk about the MVP discussion. Are we even willing to go a step further and say that the way he's been playing when Kevin Durant comes back still makes him the best player on that team right now in a way that we would not have thought of before?
No, but yes, but no. Okay, so the reason why I feel like it's 50-50 on this is because James Harden has been that constant fixture for the Nets' success. And they're very, very fortunate, especially given the health and the COVID situation, that they have him, that they, you know, bet the whole house and the dog and the street light, you know, like on James Harden, just because he is that force of stability. A lot of people had criticisms of James, especially based on like what the playoff record and him not being able to, you know, have enough gas come late in the playoffs. But guess what? One thing we know about him is he will show up and he will try to get his team to win. And he tends to get his teammates to also overproduce, especially when you have snipers like Joe Harris and TLC and a number of guys that can knock it down from three. It's almost like Houston 2.0, but also like amped up, because some of those players that were role players in Houston are now, oh, Kyrie Irving, and potentially when he gets back, Kevin Durant. So, you know, James Harden being that force that knew when he first stepped onto the floor in Brooklyn, all right, I'm going to take a step back. We're going to win. KD's going to shine. Kyrie's going to feel like the man when he comes back. All right, KD leaves. All right, you and I, we have our roles figured out. You go and do your thing and score. I'm going to be a facilitator and get you triple doubles. All right, nobody's here. Guess what? I'm going to hold it down by myself and get you wins. He's found different ways and different roles, and he knows each game what role he needs to be. And I feel like that's why he's probably the most vital player right now in the Brooklyn Nets currently, but that can fully change when Kevin Durant steps back on the floor.
And I think the Golden State model when Kevin Durant got there was predicated on the understanding of everyone involved. We may have important players that have been here for great wins. He is the best player on the court. And so I think James Harden plays one of the most important roles you can have in any sport. John Donowski, Duke's men's lacrosse head coach, calls it a party starter, a guy that can initiate offense in a way the defense has to adjust to quickly. But you can call Kevin Durant last call, because when you got to turn the lights out on some team, that needs to be the guy doing it. And that, to me, is the biggest hurdle left to climb for this team in the future, is when you get to those pressing moments late and you've got those three options, where is the ball going? We'll get to more of that later. But in the college ranks right now, college basketball is heating up, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com, search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees, like Baylor's Jared Butler and UConn's Olivia Nelson-Odata. As the season rolls along, the John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. Coming up next, Deion Sanders was making big headlines already heading to Jackson State to coach, but it's the headlines that have come out of his first weekend as a coach that are starting to turn some heads for the wrong reasons. We'll get to that after this word from Body Armor.
Okay, now, body crazy, workout ready, we got a big drink on deck. Let Body Armor Light help you achieve your fitness goals this year. What's your goal? Mine is to be a WNBA All-Star. Junior's is to do a headstand and maybe lose like maybe 1% of body fat. I don't know. I'll give him the pinch test when once I see him in person. Actually, I can't. It's COVID, but you get what I mean.
And
Body
HR.
Armor Light. You're going to use HR to just really keep me from giving you that test, but it's all good. Do your work. Body Armor Light is a low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. And it comes in delicious flavors like peach mango, tropical coconut, and strawberry lemonade. I mean, strawberry lemonade. It always does it. Always does it for me. It's the strawberry lemonade for me. Body Armor Light, keeping you hydrated during your workouts and your busy day. My day was busy, but I'm glad to be here with y'all. Now, from now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product and earn $10 in fitness cash to select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That is bacommittofit.com. All right, now the all-time great Deion Sanders, now head coach, got a big win with Jackson State, but it was mired in controversy. We've got all the details right after this on Chene and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Come look at us on ESPN Plus.
Chene and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Off the top of the show, we mentioned something, and it is worth updating to you right now. Chene and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Really, two things in here. One, we mentioned the fight video that we saw of Spencer Jones, Oklahoma wide receiver who was seen in a fight with a guy with cauliflower ear in a bathroom in Norman, Oklahoma. And while we all had good fun with that, there were serious things that came out of this, and Spencer Jones ended up having to undergo surgery to save his eye after that bar fight. So in all seriousness, we are glad that him and his eye are okay in that spot.
Yeah,
and,
agreed.
Yeah, and that's first and foremost. And then we had the instance of the Seattle Mariners CEO and president resigning after comments made publicly in a Rotary Zoom call where he thought he was speaking to a group of people that were derogatory and disrespectful to many in the organization. Jimmy Comfort tweets in at Chenea and at Mike Golic Jr. I hope the Mariners and or Major League Baseball do a complete investigation with the Kevin Mather situation. If the president and CEO is making these remarks, how deep does it go within the organization? And our own Jeff Passan did a great job outlining that this is a guy who faced allegations from some women that went to HR in the organization about a decade ago of what this says about your franchise's overall culture in a way that needs to be addressed going forward.
Once again, thank you for the contribution, Jimmy Comfort, who's always supporting our show. And I think that's a great point, because if someone felt so comfortable, to have these type of comments, just say them so easily and with such depth, you know, on a public forum, then you can only imagine what, you know, he's saying potentially behind closed doors, and to rip, you know, that the seeds of those roots out from the organization. I think an investigation is necessary.
Absolutely. So hopefully we will get that. The work still has to be done for the Mariners. But if we're talking about consequences of actions and sometimes unforeseen consequences, then it's worth visiting college football. For anyone unaware, FCS, the football championship subdivision of football, has started up again in the spring. That level of football, what was formerly 1AA, decided not to play this fall because of the COVID pandemic. And so we have got spring football happening right now. And that includes HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities, like Jackson State, where Deion Sanders, Hall of Famer, is now the head coach. And we had an instance that popped up over the weekend that already took this to something off the field. Going to play the sound. This was Deion Sanders immediately after a dominant win, a 50-plus point win for them in their opening game. His first game as a head coach, addressing something that happened off the field during the game.
I'm pissed off right now because I have mixed emotions. We won. Kids played really well. But while the game was going on, somebody came in and stole every darn thing I had in my locker room, in the coach's office. Yeah. Credit cards, wallet, watches. Thank God I had Omen necklaces. How? Teary-eyed because the guys presented me with the game ball, one of the best moments I've ever had in my professional sports career emotionally. And then you go into your locker room, your coach's office, to digress, and you notice and you don't even have a phone to call your mama, to call your girl, to call your kids. Because it's been stolen.
And now, Chenea, the talk about his items being returned, having been misplaced, all of the surroundings after the fact seem a little murky in this spot, but the reaction there seemed emotional. It seemed raw in that spot based off what had happened, and it seemed like a guy who is used to being the Hall of Famer, an athlete, saying, I'm not going to tolerate this, even though there might be layers to this and layers to the reaction to this that even he doesn't see right now.
Yeah, I think this is an extremely complicated situation, because if you're talking about deterring an action that potentially happened, I see why Deion Sanders would have stepped to the mic and said, hey, this is not going to be tolerated in my program. But I do think that there is a shift in roles that I feel like maybe was underestimated in his decision to actually speak on it, just because, you know, we're at the point in society where we're trying to celebrate a lot of our wins within the culture, meaning, historically black colleges and universities being treated with the esteem that they deserve. And for this to be the first public moment where they could have celebrated, like you said, like this hallmark 53-0 win, instead it's mired in controversy, which sort of feels unfair to the athletes that were on the field. And then also to Coach Sanders, who's like taking a step into making the right decision here and like, you know, providing that legacy for the communities that need it. And so I just was a little bit torn because I wish it could have been handled privately, because as an athlete, of course, you can step to the mic and own whatever you say and it only reflects back on you. You can take that heat. But now as an ambassador for the university, for the legacy of students, you know, moving forward that are prospectively trying to, you know, see that university and HBCUs in a different light, it sort of plays to the stereotypes that we already deal with in society, and it sort of sets us back once again instead of using that moment for something else. Don't knock him for how he chose it. Defer to him, but I still feel like it's extremely complicated.
A lot to unpack in that situation, there is no doubt. But like you said, don't let this take away from an extremely successful start for Deion Sanders' campaign at Jackson State as a coach with what they were able to put on display. But coaching news in the NBA dominating today, what went on and what was the process behind it that we need to explore? And we will next here on Chené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.